This month, we're examining human trafficking, from prostitution in New England to a trail of slavery to New York City and Asia. So far, we've focused on the sex trade, but human trafficking is also prevalent in the form of forced labor. In September, President Obama depicted labor trafficking as a form of modern-day slavery.
But around the world, there's no denying the awful reality. When a man desperate for work finds himself in a factory or on a fishing boat or in a field, working, toiling for little or no pay and beaten if he tries to escape, that is slavery. When a woman is locked in a sweatshop or trapped in a home as a domestic servant, alone and abused, and incapable of leaving, that's slavery.
In the United States, labor trafficking persists on farms, in factories, and within the hospitality industry. WGBH reporter Philip Martin examines the labor angle in his series Underground Trade.
If you think slavery ended in 1865 with the 13th Amendment, think again. Human traffickers have picked up where Jim Crow left off. Does that seem far-fetched? Well, just listen to Louis C. DeBaca at the U.S. State Department.
Here in the United States, in the wake of the Civil Rights Movement, there was a perception that the problem of peonage, the problem of slavery, of sharecropping, was a thing of the past. And quietly, the abusers were bringing in immigrants to replace the African-American community.
Years before he took on the job of U.S. ambassador at large to combat human trafficking, C. DeBaca was with the Justice Department investigating slavery in the USA.
Well, when I got out of law school, I went to work at the Civil Rights Division. The involuntary servitude and slavery program had been a little bit on the back burner during the 70s and 80s because of the gains of the civil rights movement. And then by the 80s and 90s, we were starting to see, whether it was Guatemalans or Mexicans or others, suffering often in the same farms in the American South, picking tomatoes, cucumbers, onions.
About 18,000 people are trafficked to the U.S. each year, according to the State Department. What do they have in common? Most are indebted to smugglers and traffickers. According to the Polaris Project, a national anti-human trafficking group, victims have been pressed to work in factories, agriculture, strip clubs, and begging in peddling rings, and as domestic workers for little or no money. Matt Friedman of the United Nations Interagency Project on Human Trafficking says it's the type of coercive conditions that have always been here.
The type of slavery where men were taken from Africa and women and put across from one continent to the other may have ended, but the type of slavery that's always been there, which is to kind of gender kind of people into the sex industry or in objectionable jobs like fisheries or sweatshops and so forth, that's never stopped.
In Boston, San Francisco, New York, and other U.S. locations, immigrants have also found themselves working in restaurants. A kitchen is where an ambitious, middle-class, 19-year-old woman from Fujian, China ended up, a long way from her dreams. We'll call her Ming Wei. This is one woman's story of labor trafficking.
Passenger on Korean Air flight KE684, departing for Incheon. Please proceed immediately to gate number 17 for boarding.
Years ago, she stood in line at Bangkok's modern airport, waiting to board a flight to the U.S., as I'm standing here now.
Like first, when I came out from China, I used my own passport. When I transferred Hong Kong to Thailand, they gave me a fake passport.
She entered into an agreement with a smuggler. To take you from China to the U.S., smugglers charge as much as $75,000 per person. In Mexico, they're called coyotes. In East Asia, they're known as snakeheads. They help you get across rivers, under fences, over mountains, and through deserts. But sometimes they just put you on a plane. Per the instructions of her snakehead, Ming Wei pretended to be a citizen of Thailand and was provided a fake passport.
So it was someone else's passport,
yeah.
Not your name,
not my name,
your picture.
My
picture. But none of the information matched.
Yeah. Nothing information matched with me, but they have to train me to look like that person.
Once on board, both her Chinese passport and fake Thai papers were confiscated by the snakehead. She landed at JFK without documentation. Ming Wei, as instructed by the smuggler, filed for political asylum based on religious persecution.
The snakehead told me about religion, like what I believe, Buddha or Jesus, like this. Actually, I don't believe any things.
What she believed was that she had arrived in a place where dreams came true.
you can get better life in USA. You can go to school, you make a lot of money, and then you can live a big house, you can drive your own car, good education, get very good job. But actually, when I come here, totally different.
Officials at JFK gave her a date to show up for an immigration hearing. And what happened after she cleared customs has been repeated for many traffic immigrants arriving to America, according to the Polaris Project. Outside the international terminal, she was met by a driver, someone she didn't know.
I just followed him, stayed there for one night.
In New York's Chinatown. The next day, she was driven to a restaurant in Pennsylvania, and then another restaurant, and then another, all belonging to the same wealthy Chinese family. Ming Wei was told that she had to pay back the smuggler who brought her from China via Bangkok, a cost of $8,000 that quadrupled when room and board were later added.
And how much money were you making?
I can't ask. And I'm not allowed to ask. They say, well, you still owe money. You can't get anything.
Owe money for what?
Owe money for the trip I came from the China. And I get whatever they pay me.
That often came to less than $100 per month, working 8 in the morning in the restaurant to 1 the next morning for 2 weeks straight and one day off.
The underground restaurant network is very amazing.
Lauren Burke is an immigration attorney. She manages the New York Asian Women's Center, the group Ming Wei eventually turned to for help. She says many of the center's 150 clients are restaurant workers facing the same everyday tragedy.
There's a street in Chinatown called Eldred Street, and there are all these job agencies called Jie Xiao Shuo, and you go to one, and, you know, they give you a ticket, and I have clients that are shipped to North Carolina, to Ohio, to Boston, to Florida, and they're working in these little side-of-the-road buffet restaurants across the country.
The distance between Boston and New York is bridged by growing numbers of Chinatown-based bus companies. Burke says the low-fare carriers, which are popular with Boston-area college students, are also vehicles of choice for hustlers in the underground trade.
Sometimes when, you know, I have young people who are on buses like that, there will be recruiters on the buses who look for young, vulnerable kids and say, you know, you should work at this massage parlor. And so I know that the recruiters do work on those routes.
We've seen some scattered reports.
Martha Coakley is Massachusetts Attorney General.
Women in other countries are told, we'll provide transport for you to the United States. And once they get here, though, they're told, you owe us money for that. And it's really the whole idea of involuntary servitude is the other side of labor trafficking that we worry about.
But proving it is difficult. And a report published last year by the Urban Institute and Northeastern University suggests why. Lack of law enforcement resources, legal guidance, and cooperation from victims. But immigration lawyer Lauren Burke says if what victims have experienced cannot be proven, she at least hopes that public awareness will put pressure on those who profit from exploited laborers.
I have clients with cuts on their arms and who've been burned by pans, and, you know, they sleep in basements with bugs biting them all night long. If you are an employer who knows that those are the conditions and continue to pay somebody and use that exploitation as a form of fear, I believe that you're just as much culpable as any trafficker.
As for the woman we call Ming Wei, who arrived here from China via Bangkok at age 19, she's still working in the restaurant business at age 38 and still paying off debt to snakeheads and traffickers. Though she is safe, her family in China may not be. And she takes the threat of violence against them quite seriously. Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
Philip's series Underground Trade concludes this Thursday. He'll examine how activists, law enforcement, and governments are trying to make a real dent in human trafficking. This series is part of our collaboration with the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism at Brandeis University and the International Center for Journalists. And you are listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. Support for NPR comes from Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring with a Floor Finder app for iPad and iPhone. Learn more at lumberliquidators.com. Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And Unisys Corporation, committed to providing IT solutions to contribute to a safer and more secure connected world. More at unisys.com.
On January 31st, the Taste of WGBH Beer and Artisanal Foods event is your chance to sample a selection of local brews from the Pretty Things Beer and Ale Project Incorporated and meet your fellow beer lovers. Visit wgbh.org/events for more.
This program is made possible thanks to you and Harper Business, publisher of Great by Choice by Morton Hansen and Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great, offering insight into building successful companies in times of immense uncertainty. Wherever books are sold.
It's 27 degrees right now in Boston. Cloudy today. Temperatures will be in the upper 30s.